bit about, yes, last time we spoke about the bracha of Birchas Hamotzi, various halachas, but how to hold the bread, how to cut the bread, where to cut the bread, when to cut the bread. Tonight we're going to discuss a little bit about a hefsek, which we did mention last night also, about whether cutting of the bread is going to serve as a hefsek between the bracha and the actual eating. So the Gemara is found in the daf Mem Amun Al, the very top here in Brus. The Gemara says, Amar Rav, Tol Baruch Eino Tzarech Levarach. If after the guy, the Botzea, we'll call him, he's called the Botzea, he says the bracha. After he says the bracha, prior to eating, he says to someone, here, go take something from this bread. Eat the bread. Before he actually swallowed or ate anything, he told his friend, his Rebbe, or someone to take a bite. He spoke. And if you do that, Rav says you don't have to repeat the bracha. What's the reason? So Rashi tells us that before the Botzea tastes from the food, and very important, Diag, I didn't even pick up on this. Rashi says, Toim, he tasted the bread, mention it later on. And he says, even though speaking is normally a hefsek, and normally you'd have to go back and say a bracha, like we find a person putting tefillin shor yad, tefillin shor rosh, and he speaks in between, you have to say another bracha. So too, the din is kisei adam, you say a bracha to do a number of kisei adam for different animals. Normally speaking serves as a bracha. So here he says, since it's sorech bracha lo mifsika, since the giving of the food to someone else is part of the bracha, it's tzarech bracha of some sort, it is not considered a hefsek. It's part of the bracha. But Rav says, Haba melach, haba livson, bring me some salt, bring me some dip, tzarech levarach. That serves as a hefsek, you'd have to repeat the bracha. Comes along Rabbi Yochanan Omer, afilu haviu melach, afilu livson, nami ein tzarech levarach. You request someone to bring you the salt and dip before you actually ate any of the bread, that too is not a hefsek and would not require you to repeat a bracha. Rashi once again says, because afzu tzarech bracha, shetehe prusa shabracha ne'achels betam. This too is part, it's a need for the bracha, and the reason being so you could taste the food with salt. Very important, Rashi, purpose of salt. But, however, Yochanan says, if you say gvilatori, go mix some of the food for my shore, that would be considered a hefsek, and that you would have to repeat the bracha. However, Rav Sheshes concludes, and this is how we paskin, afilu gvilaturi, even saying that, nami eno tzarech levarach, that too you would not have to repeat the bracha, that did serve as a suffix, as a hefsek. Why not? Because he quotes a Gemara, Dama Rav Yehuda Marav, Aser lo Adam sheyochal kodim sheyitein maichel behemto. It's forbidden for a man to eat prior to giving his animal to eat. Shenemar v'nasati eisav b'shadachal v'amtecha. You should give the food of the fields to your animal. V'hadar, only after does it say v'achalta v'svata, and you should eat. So feeding animals comes before eating yourself. And that's how we conclude. These three examples, giving someone to take from, telling someone to take from the bread, and saying bring me salt, and saying feed my animal, all those don't serve as a hefsek. It's different. It's different than Tzar Baal Chaim. From what I've seen, everyone distinguishes between Tzar Baal Chaim. So it'd be interesting. There's a whole long list of different sources of what may serve as a source of Tzar Baal Chaim. There are like 20. I don't remember if this is one of them. I don't think it's one of them, but interesting. It's definitely, one could argue it is, but I think most say not. Now the Rambam's Lashon, when he quotes this halacha in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Aleph Halacha Ches, he says as follows: Vim hifsik b'devarim me'inyan devarim shemevarchan alav einot tzarach levarach shenis. What does it mean? If you hifsik b'devarim me'inyan devarim, things within things. So Beis Yosef writes, this is an Or Chaim Simon Kuf Samech Zayin, he says, the Rambam argues in Rashi, even if you mafsik with things that are not so essential to the meal, simply things that are related to the Suda, that also won't serve as a hefsek. Rashi emphasizes tzarech bracha, has to be a real need. You want to be mechabit someone with bread, so you tell him to pass the bread to your Rebbe. Or you need the salt. The salt's a very essential part, as we'll see later on, as part of the meal. Or you have to feed your animals, it's a deraisa. Those things are tzarech bracha, those are real necessities for the eating. Rambam's alone, those are just examples, it sounds like. Rambam says, no, things are minyan dvarim. Anything related, shaykhis to the suda, even if it's not a real requirement, even if it's not a real iser deraisa. That's the Beis Yosef points out. Now, the Bach and the Gruss say the truth is, the Rambam and Rashi's machlokas is really dependent on the girsa one has. What girsa? So Rashi, the Gemara in front of us in Rashi, has tol baruch, take from the bracha. However, the Rif says the Lashon is tol karuch. It's not beis, it's a chaf. Karuch is like, tol karuch is like to wrap or to eat, the kricha, to take some of the bread, take some of the sandwich. Rashi emphasizes the baruch, the actual bracha, has to be tzarech bracha, while the Rambam and the Rif say it's about kricha, about the actual eating, anything related to the suta. That's what the Gra points out in the Bach. Might be taller than the Girsos. Now, the din of bringing salt to the table, Tosus points out, really Gemara later on we should first see. The Gemara goes on after the two dots and says, Omer Rava bar Shmuel mishum Rabbi Chia, Ein habutzei rashai levitsoa, ad sheviu melech olivson lifnei kol echar v'yachar. The botzei cannot say the bracha until every single person has his own individual salt in front of him. Rava bar Shmuel ikle de Reish Kaluso. So he was the author of the statement, and he once went to visit the Reish Kaluso. Afikale rivso, they took out a piece of bread, ubatsa lade, and he just said a bracha right there. So they said, what are you doing? Amulei, halder mar mishmasei. There was no salt there. How can you just say the bracha right away without bringing the salt? You're the one who said you need salt. Amulehu, less din tzarech bashas. There's no need for bashas. What does that mean? So Rashi says, since we have now these pasnikia, very clean bread, pure looking bread, there's no need to add salt. So yeah, if you had like a dry, a whole wheat piece of bread that needed a little bit of time or wasn't clean or something like that, so you need salt to add some flavoring. But nowadays, the salt is unnecessary, so that's, therefore, you have to say it. You need the salt. Tosas writes, in Dibur Mascha Habba Melach, V'onu ein anu ragil na'vi al shulchan lo melach v'lo livson. Nowadays, it's our custom, not custom, but we don't have the custom to bring salt or dip to the table. We have a very chashav pas. Our breads, our challahs are very, very tasty, and there's no need to add salt. And it's very much similar to the case that we just read in the story of the Rav Bar Shmuel who visited the house of Reish Kalusa. However, writes Tosus Mihu, he says, Rabbi Menachem, hayomedaktik ma'ol lohavi melech al shulchan. Nonetheless, Rabbi Menachem is very medaktik to always have salt on his table. Why? If we just said the reason, like Rashi said earlier, why do you have to have salt? He says, necheles betam, to have taste. So if our bread is so pure and so clean and so tasty, why do you need salt? He quotes a medjish, Tosu quotes a medjish, kishe Yisrael yoshvin al hashulchan. When Bnei Yisrael are sitting on their table, umam tinin zedzeh, they're waiting for one another because they all wash, they're waiting for the butzeh, they finally say bracha. So they all wash, sitting down very quietly. Ad shul yideim, until everyone washes their hands. Vehein b'lo mitzvos. They have no mitzvahs. They can't talk. They can't talk. They can't do anything. They're just stuck. So no mitzvahs. So what happens? Hasatan mekatrigalem. The satan has the opportunity to pounce. So what are they going to do? Bris melach maginalem. The bris melach, the salt on the table, that protects them. The bris karsh baruch hu, the bris melach somehow protects them. Again, way above our heads. But Rabbi Nachman was very, very medactic. This is brought in Tosfos, as Kabbalistic as it sounds. Tosfos brings this. And that's why you always have to have salt on the table. Even though the bread doesn't need it, it's needed to protect the individual sitting around.
Just before, so this is only
until you eat. Until you can start talking again. And you can start, and then you can remove it if you want. Now, there's Beis Yosef brings another opinion as to why one needs salt, even Bizman Hazeh. This is brought down the name of Shibboleth HaLeket. Shibboleth HaLeket writes, actually, even before that, one second, before Shibboleth HaLeket. So, Machlokes, what's the 2 days in Tosfos? Whether nowadays do you require salt or do you not require salt? So, I think it's very possible. I think the Beis Yosef actually says this. This too is dependent upon the Machlokes, Rashi, and Rambam. According to Rashi, so. Actually, I'm going to forget. He says it a little different way. Let's say nowadays, is one allowed to, say, bring... Tosfos isn't directly talking about the case, but nowadays, is one allowed to say, to be mafshik, to bring the salt to the table? So So according to Rabbi Nachum, of course you can, because you have to have the salt on the table. Tosafot says, no, you can't, because the salt is unnecessary. So what's pshat here? So he wanted to explain the Beis Yosef says, Rabbi Nachum learns like the Rambam. You're allowed to be mafsik still, because the Rambam says anything that's shayach to the Suda, even though it's not a need, but shayach, and this is shayach to the Suda, so salt. You could say, the salt is, it's salt has nothing to do with the bracha anymore, nothing to do with eating, but shayach to the overall Suda, so one's allowed to be mafsik. According to Tosfos, it's not shayach, you don't need the salt for the eating of the bread anymore, it's completely unnecessary to this particular bracha, and therefore one's not allowed to be mafsik. That's what the Beis Yosef is right, I think, if I understood him correctly, that's what he explained. So there is another opinion I was telling you, the Shiboli Haleka, that's brought down in Beis Yosef, says there's another reason why you should have salt at the table, even Bizman Hazeh. And this answers as follows. The reasoning is, because the Shulchan is Dome in the Mizbeach. Our tables are very similar to the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mizbeach, the Beis HaMikdash, is a pasuk that we read. It says, Al kol karbonecha takriv melach. On every single carbon, one should bring salt on the table. Since our shulchan is like the mizbeach, therefore you need salt in the mizbeach, just like the mizbeach had. Now it comes out from just a very side point here. There's a question in general, fascinating discussion I was reading this morning, today, in the Chavetz Sharon, about whether the mitzvah of melach is connected to the mitzvah of karbon or to separate din. When you bring every carbon, you also sprinkle salt. Is the sprinkling of the salt a continuation of the haktara, the continuation of the carbon, or it's a completely separate idea? They happen to have both go on the mizbeach, but it's entirely independent.
Is the salting connected to the salt that we do regular when you shach meat, tea?
No, different.
It's a different thing.
There may be some connection, but the salting of meat, melicha, is really just to remove the blood.
Okay.
There may be some, that I'm not familiar, maybe some draw certain comparisons, but strictly speaking, it's just to remove blood.
Essentially, when you burn carbon, you wouldn't salt. Like, let's say you were eating the carbon. Yeah.
If you had to eat part of the carbon, you'd have to do the I think.
So you do it twice.
Yeah, but that salting would just be the kasher. It wouldn't be a mitzvah on the carbon. There's a special mitzvah on the carbon to sprinkle on his bech for every carbon, not for the cleansing process. So again, the Chavetz Chaim raised the question: how much is the salting on the carbon part of the actual hakrava? Or it's a separate thing. You have to do a krava of the animal and also salt it. So he points out from this Shibola Halek, it sounds like the melech is entirely separate. Because on the shulchan, there's obviously no carbon on our tables. So if there's no carbon, there'd be no need for a melech. Elamai must be the melech is independent of the carbon. You could have a mizbeach with salt, even though there's no actual carbon. And he goes on to a whole longer discussion. Right, he seems to take this like very seriously. He doesn't say zecher. He says it is. It's domel melech. It's not even a zecher.
Good.
Right. But anyways, there's a fascinating discussion he has there. Just to say one point, the Rambam says when it comes to karbanos, we don't count separate mitzvahs as all the different avodas. We don't say there's a mitzvah of shechita for an ola and a mitzvah of kabbalah for an ola and a mitzvah of zrika for an ola. We just say the mitzvahs of ola and the mitzvahs of chatas. We don't go all the different avodas. There's one exception, the sprinkling of the melach on the mizbeach. If the salt is like any other avoda, it's like a shrita, it's like a zrika, it's like a kabbalah, it's like a holacha, so the melach should also be included in the ola, it should be included in the chatas, it should be included in the shlamim. The fact that it counts independently sounds like the Rambam also thinks the din of melach is separate than the carbon. Now, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like the Gemara here, like the Rambam says, that a person should not be botzeah on bread until he has salt or some other dip, but if he has pasnikia or very flavored or salted bread, or he just simply wants to eat dry bread, dry untasty bread, one's allowed to. I mean, it's yeah.
So the bread with like everything spices on top, you wouldn't
eat. Yeah, it's really all. What comes down, it's all about preference. The Shulchan Aruch is understanding it the way Rashi and the first half of Tosfos is the point of salt is to make it tam. Rashi says you should have tam. If it already has tam, or you don't want to have tam, if you choose not to, so then you don't. But if you, let's say it has salt and you know, it doesn't need salt, but you want to have salt, so then it's up to you. You could be mafsik. The Shulchan Aruch takes the approach the salt is simply for tam. It comes on the Ramah, yeah.
Is it the same thing for like ketchup?
Ketchup would be.
You should have ketchup or not? Whatever. I'm saying is. Is it specifically for salt or anything?
No, and any lips on any type of dip you would put a challah in. I'm not sure people dip challah into ketchup.
I'm saying it's like different. Like,
but if you do, what? No, my I happen to like challah with mayonnaise. So I got my son Yeshaya hooked on it, and so it's like kind of embarrassing when we go out for lunch, and he won't eat it. He's like, get me the mayonnaise. Like, you ask for it. I'm asking. You ask. So, now the Ramah brings the other opinions, the other reasons why to have salt. He says, "Mikol makom." Even though the Shulchan Aruch says salt is just for the taste, he writes, "Mikol makom nitzur lahavi al kol shulchan." You should always have salt on the table. This is not only on Shabbos, by the way. This is in general. You should always have melech kodem shivtzoa kel shulchan dom l'mizbech. It's similar to the mizbech, as we said. Ve'achilu k'karbon, the eating. The eating is like a carbon. That's the answer to your question. This is the Ramah, yeah? V'nemar kol karbonecha takriv melech. He quotes the pasuk. And he also adds the opinion of Rabbeinu Menachem, b'hum magin min ha'paranios. So the salt also protects you. So the Ramah takes this deeper understanding of the purpose of melech, and we being Ashkenazim should always have salt on the table. Now the Mogen Ram points out that the salt shouldn't just be there on the table. One should actually dip in the challah into the salt. Some people have like a minute to sprinkle it on top, which maybe, I'm not sure how it was done on the carbon, but the way the Magen Avraham says one should dip it in the salt, and the Mishnah Berurah adds three times into the salt. That's a general minug. Now there are some who are noheg based on the minug of the Chassam Sofer to use salt at every single meal except one meal during the week, which is Friday night meal. Why not the Friday night meal? If you take the understanding, like the Shibboleth Halakha, that's all based, it's modeled after the carbon. So Friday nights, there was no hekter chalavim. We were not makter any of the fats on Friday night. Every other day and night, there was always carbonos. Friday night is the exception. Therefore, one should not use salt on Friday night, according to the Chassam Sofer. I know the different minhagim. My in-laws, my father-in-law, does use salt Friday night. So that was like one change my wife had to, not a tremendous change, but we don't, no, it's the other way around, I'm sorry. We do use salt Friday night. My father-in-law does not use salt. So that was one change she had to get used to. Not a big one. Now the Magen Avraham adds, you know, to take this idea further, that once we really view this shulchan as a mizbeach, so it's really something very kadosh. And therefore it says, one should not kill a bug on your table. You see a bug being swarmed, don't do it on your table. Do it anywhere but your table. Aruch HaShulchan says so to any other disgusting type of thing. Kids shouldn't climb on the table. You should really treat it with respect. Now the Gemara is also very important. Posting this fascinating discussion comes up here about the chiyuv or the iser to eat before feeding your animal. Now the Rambam writes, this is, yeah. Sure, yeah, sure. Yeah.
People have a minhag of leaving the salt on at the end of the meal, right? When they bench?
It's possible. You know what? I don't remember the minhag, but the Gemara later on says that you should always have salt at the end.
Okay.
So it may be based on that. No, I mean, right.
How far does this go, like the shulchan's like the mizbeach? Like a newspaper or something like that? I'm saying, how far does it go?
Well, if you're asking Magen Avraham, I'm not sure what he says about newspapers in general. Depends which newspaper you're reading. That TED, I'm saying that TED Naiman or something like that, right? Mishpacha magazines. anything that you, I don't think like a magazine would be disgraceful to Mizbech. I guess it depends how you take it. Anything that's not disrespectful, or it has to be only kadosh things. Like killing animals, disrespectful to kill on the mizbeach, but maybe something that's somewhat neutral would be permitted. We have to take more of the positive approach. This is really a kadosh place. You have to treat with the utmost respect.
What's the table? Like anything you'd eat on? Like,
so yeah, lechori, anything you'd eat on. Yeah, I mean, whenever you eat.
Like you ate on
this one, so like right.
For now on, they can't
do anything else. Right, so that's a good question. Is this shulchan, does it have a status always, or only when you're eating on it?
It's like their fold-up table.
Right. It's a good question. I'm not sure. That's good. We should look into that one. No, I'm serious. Maybe we'll Maybe we'll send a shiloh to Ravens Solomon. We'll send an email to Ravens Solomon. Yes?
Only at the time.
No, you're definitely allowed. But like, how should one, you know, my guess to enter be is like, people have like a main table. If it's your main table, your dining room table, that should be like reserved for other tables to use. So while it's food's on the table and you're eating, so then treat with respect, otherwise not. That'd be my, I'd like to hear what someone else would have to say. Now, the halacha of not eating before feeding your animal, the Rambam, interestingly enough, puts it at the end of Hilchos Avadim, the very last halacha of Hilchos Avadim, Perek Tes Halacha Ches. Now, I don't know what it means exactly, when the Ein Mishpat, when his letters, has a bracket in it. See, if you see, this one is a bracket, a bays. I don't know if it's like he missed that one and like, it was added on later on at some point, because like, it's a hard place to find it. You would not have guessed it's in Hilchos Avadim. So I don't know if he didn't find it and later he did find it. But the Rambam says as follows: with midas chasidus, the darach yachochma, sheyehe adam rachamin v'rodif tzedek, person should be merciful, running after charity. Liyachbid alo al avdo, he shouldn't put a heavy burden on his eved. Viachileu viashkeu mikol machalo, he shows his freedom from all the food and drinks he has. Is actually in Siman Kuf Sam Mechtes, and a few Simanim later on in the Shulchan Aruch talks about how one should treat the shamish, and he should always give the shamish what to eat from whenever he's serving. The waiter serving, always give him something to eat, especially something with a very strong smell. It's going to be tsar otherwise to him. He's feeding all this tasty food and he can't have everything himself. Now he says, he's elaborating on how one treats an oven, and then he says, Umikol tavshiv tavsheyehu ochlin umakdimim mazon habehemos ha'avodim al sudas atman. He should always proceed feeding the animals and avodim before himself. So I kind of want to know why, you know, where he got the source of avodim from. I remember there's another Rambam in I think earlier Hilchos Avodim about kinyanim, that he compares a eved katan to a behema. So there's a lot of overlap of how much of a property an Evid is in terms of connection to Karka, in terms of connection to Metaltalin. So it's not so difficult, but I'm not even sure it's the connection to the behemoth. It's anybody you have a responsibility to feed, you should take care of it, because they're just waiting. You know, the tsar, they don't know, they don't decide when they eat. You know when you're eating, you have pas pasalo, you have that comfort. They're in great tsar. But exactly, what comes after the Rambam is this whole idea is simply a midas chasidus. Very good. The Magen Avraham, however, writes, this is in later on, Siman Reish Ein Alf, in the Hilchos Havdalah. He comes up there, that he quotes the halachas as follows. Someone said a bracha, Motzei Shabbos, says a bracha to eat bread, and then he realized he didn't say Havdalah, and you can't eat until saying Havdalah. It's an isser to eat until say Abdullah. Like any other mitzvah, you're not allowed to eat until you say Abdullah. The chorot should apply anywhere else. Let's say you said a bracha the night of Bdikas Chametz. And before you ate the bracha, you realize you didn't do Bdikas Chametz yet. So all these cases, you said you're supposed to be mafsik. Magen says mafsik, you say Abdullah. And you have to repeat the bracha. But why? Wasn't that a need? I had to do Abdullah. Isn't that a need? It shouldn't be a hefsik. Just like feeding my animal is a need. So he says, no, it's different. The Havdalah, the reason you can't eat it for Havdalah is not a real, it's a deraisa, it's not a chiv deraisa. So it's not a real need. I have to do it now, but it's considered a hefsek. As opposed to the feeding the animals is an iser deraisa. So I'm required by Torah, I have to be mafsik to feed the animal, and therefore it's not considered a hefsek. It's part of my obligations, my deraisa obligations before eating. So it's all part of one act. But either way, writes the Magen Avraham, quoting from Rami Rutenberg, that there's an iser deraisa to eat prior to feeding your animals. Now, Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that he quotes this halacha that one should not be mafsik, but if you do mafsik, whether it's to tell someone to eat, or whether it's to bring the salt, or whether it's to feed your animal, that all does not serve as a hefsek. Writes the Magen Avraham that one's allowed to taste something before feeding the animal. Only eating is prohibited. Because the lashon of the Gemara here in Daf Mem is sheyoch asal adam sheyochal kodem b'shitin. Achila is aser, but ti'ima is permitted. The Taz argues, and Taz quotes the Gemara in Gittin, has almost a parallel Gemara. There the Gemara in Gittin says, also litum, one cannot taste. So it's a machlokas magid rum, Taz, whether one's allowed to taste prior. And he brings another raya. What's the source of feeding animal first? It says, v'achalt v'savata, and then you eat, meaning you could only eat afterwards. I'm sorry, I said the wrong way. I apologize. The Magid Ram says Tima. Tima is Asr. He likes Gemara in Gittin, which says Tima. The Taz says Tima is permitted. Only Achila is prohibited. Because the Gemara in Bracha says Achila, you can't eat, but you're allowed to taste. And the Pasuk says Vachal Vesvata. You can't eat until after you fed your animal, but you're allowed to taste. So that's Machlokas, what one's allowed to do. But what's really interesting is the Magid Ram, which I mentioned last night, he said, now, so again, Machlokas is whether you could taste or not. But he says, one's allowed to drink prior to giving his animals to eat. And we've said there's a source from Rivka. Rivka came to, Eliezer came to Rivka. She said to him, take to drink for yourself and give your animals to drink. So the Tshuva's Heart Tzvi Pesach Frank writes, what's the reason? What's the difference between drinking and eating? Shouldn't be the same. So he offers two explanations. One explanation, he says, is because we find the chilek also when it comes to eating and drinking prior to davening. One's not allowed to eat before davening, one's allowed to drink before davening. Drinking water is generally the minna, coffee, tea, one could drink. So there's a distinction there. So here too also is a distinction. But this, he gives another, one of the little more reasoning to it, as opposed to just a simple comparison, that someone who is thirsty is much worse off than someone who's hungry. And therefore, the tsar that this person is experiencing really needs to drink, that's much more tsar for him than if he's allowed to drink before his animal. But if he's simply hungry, that he could wait a little bit longer.
The animal's thirsty?
And oh, no, his, for sure. Sakana, his own tsar, definitely wins out. Yeah, that's for sure. Now, the Prima Gadol says, the raya from Rivka, that one's allowed to drink before the animals, may not be the greatest raya. Perhaps. They were walking in the Midbar, and they came upon some dirty waters along the desert. Somehow they found some water, and it wasn't really fit for human use, but it was for the camel's use. So the camels got the drink already, but the humans didn't get the drink. Eliezer didn't get the drink yet, because he only wanted clean, clear water, so he had to wait till later on. That's why he drank first. I remember hearing once, I thought maybe in Clifton I was once there for Shabbos. If not, I heard it somewhere else. I just thought of it, I don't know. That camels might be different also. Camels are meant to last days, I don't know, weeks, I don't know exactly their threshold of how long they can last. But water is not a big deal for them. So that's.
You also can be a distinction that she wasn't drinking herself, she was getting another person. You know, like maybe you feed your kids before your animals.
So then the question, Eliezer should have gave his... I mean, it wasn't her responsibility to feed the animals. Is that what you're trying to say? So Eliezer then should have went ahead and given his animals first.
No, maybe it's...
The Yad Ephraim says, why did the Magid Avraham bring a raya from Rivka? It's a better raya. Better raya in Parshas Chukas. Chukas, when it came to the rock and the water, Kadosh Baruch Hu commands them. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu speaking, not just simply a mice. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "V'ishkisa es ha'eda ve'es bi'iram." You should give the eda, the nation, to drink. Ve'es bi'iram is the animals to drink. So, humans come for animals. Isn't that going against the Torah? How could Kadosh Baruch Hu do that? Must be drinking is different. So, why didn't they bring that raya, that drinking is permitted before? So he quotes from the Orah, the Orah Chaim writes, Orah Chaim, this is in Parshas Chukas, explains that the case of the water and the rock, that was sakana, no tsar. When it comes to sakana, when it comes to tsar, then we don't have this issue anymore. They were in the desert, they needed water, they were looking for water, they complained to Kadosh Baruch Hu, we needed water, so they're a great tsar, of course, and that's a case where this issue does not hold up. One's allowed to drink in the case of sakana and tsar. The Yad Ephraim, this is on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, writes further that an interesting idea that the chol adam ein lahachzik atzmo lezakai, a person should never hold himself as he's worthy for deserving anything. And there's certain times, the only merit he has in order to allow himself to drink, the zechus to drink or eat, is simply the mitzvah of feeding his animals. Okay? So, he's not sure if he merits his drinking water, so just to be safe, in other words, feed your animals, you get a zechus there, and with that zechus, you can now be granted to eat and drink. Now, with that svara, he says as follows. If some food comes bederch nes, it comes through a miracle, so that obviously was the zechus of the human, not the zechus of the animals. So once comes the zechus of the humans, there's no need for the human beings to gain another zechus for the food. The food was given for nes. So the water that came from the rock was obviously al pi hanes, al derech hanes, and therefore he didn't have to feed the animal first. The Klei Chemda writes the same idea in Parshas Chayesar. Now that being said, if this mahalach is true, that whenever the food comes vis-a-vis a nes, so you're allowed to drink or eat prior to your animals, so that would explain also the case of the Rivka. What happened by Rivka? What was the nes there? Rashi tells us that the waters came up to greet Rivka. That was al-pines. So through that nes also, that's another reason why Eliezer saw it himself. So he knew it was for nes, which was the zechus of her, I'm allowed to drink before my animals. So that you can't bring a raya that drinking is permitted prior to your animals. Now, there's another case, another example of this as well in the Torah, that things seem to be out of order. In Parshas Noach, Kadosh Baruch Hu says, "Va'ata kach lechom mikol ba'echol asher yochal, va'asafta elecha." You should collect all the food and for the animals in the teva. "Va'ayal lecha ulahem lachla." It should be for you and for them to eat. Why is he saying you, Noach, eat, and then the animals? The animals should come before Noach. So Chassam Sofer asks the question in the Chumash, he asks, why is this out of order? Shouldn't it be the behemoths before Noach? So maybe one would say that Ben Noach is not obligated in this mitzvah. Always very easy, why not? It's a very simple answer. As Sochav would tell us, right, well, according to the Rambam, this idea is a Midas Chassidus. See, Midas Chassidus, someone like Noach was a tzaddik, so he should have been holding on the Midas Chassidus, so he should have done it. So still, the question is, Kadosh Baruch Hu should have told him the Midas Chassidus to give the animals first, so why not? So the Maral Diskin writes on Al-Chumash, Al-Torah, he says, this halacha of not eating before your animals only applies to animals that you own. But, and he says, these animals, Noach had no right to shech the animals yet. The heter for eating meat only existed after Noach left the teva. So while in the teva, he didn't have a kinyan of guf. He didn't own the entire body of the animals. That's why he couldn't eat it. He only had a kinyan peros. He was able to use them for plowing and other things. But he only had kinyan peros. So since he didn't have a full ownership on the animals, he had no obligation to feed the animals. Only animals that you own with a full kinyan are you obligated to feed. So maybe that's why Noach was allowed to eat or drink beforehand. But that's what I think everyone's suggesting, that Rivka was allowed to give Eliezer before the camels, perhaps. But once Eliezer received the water, he may have to give it to...
Were they considered Eliezer's
camels? Very good. So makes it the same thing there. That Eliezer, they weren't his animals, the Chora, they were Avraham Avinu's animals. Very good. Okay, maybe too. Right. Now, it's very possible that you have to figure out, is this really true? Is it really true that this halacha of feeding animals only applies to ones that you own? Maybe any animals that you're responsible for, you're watching over Eliezer, Noach, you're responsible to watch. That should be enough to obligate you in feeding them before yourself. So yesh lach, or whether or when the obligation exists, whether you have to own it or simply be responsible for it. Now, the Chavetzel says another explanation why Noach was allowed to eat before the animals, because the food in the table was also b'derechnes. How? So he quotes in the Rashi in Perek Vav Halacha, Perek Vav Pasuk in Ches and Noach, Bris Hayat Tzarech Al HaPeiros. Noach needed a bris with Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Al HaPeiros Shel Yirkavu V'Yafshu. They shouldn't rot and they shouldn't spoil. It shouldn't go bad. And they stayed for so many days, and the food stayed good for so many days. They didn't have refrigerators back then, and they stayed good. So also the food had a b'derechnes, and that's why Noach was able to eat before his animals. Because we said before, anything that comes through nes is because of the zechus of the person, and that's why he ate. And in the end, the Yadifraim writes, the minug is that one is not generally makbid to give the animals before drinking. In other words, the minug was to drink before giving your animals to eat. And he writes even further later on, he says, you know what, it seems to be that the minug is not even to worry about eating beforehand. One general minug, looking around, is people eat before giving the animals to eat. So he explains, pshat is probably because we have, depends where you lived and when you lived, but they had a lot of servants of all the mishrachos who were feeding the animals, and they was taken care of, so that's enough to allow you to eat. Now the Shari Tshuva adds further that even if you're not home, I think you asked the question, even if you're not home, it's still usur to eat before feeding your animals. If you have someone taking care of it for you, so then you would be allowed to eat. And they distinguish between different types of animals. There's certain animals like a dog or a cat who are pretty self-sufficient. They can find animals on their own. You have to, you know, yeah, oftentimes people give the dogs to eat, but if they're left, they can find other things. It might be difference between domesticated animals and versus not, but cats generally find their own food. They go outside, they find some mice. So he says, if those types of animals are self-sufficient, you don't have to feed them. The issue doesn't apply. However, one should be machmir to feed them anyways, writes the Shari Tshuva. Now, l'halacha, the Ramah, just, it says in the end, l'chachila, one should never be mafsik. In any of these cases, l'chachila. You shouldn't be mafsik to tell someone to take food. You shouldn't be mafsik to bring salt. You shouldn't be mafsik to say feed your animal. This whole discussion is only b'di'evit. If one was mafsik, then you don't have to repeat the bracha. Now, once the botseya takes a little bite of the food, he eats the food, so then the bracha is schal, and there's no concern of a hefsek for any of the other individuals waiting to be yote with his bracha. Now, at one point is the bracha chal. So the Magen Avraham writes, the botseya, the mevarach, should have to swallow a piece of bread for the bracha to be chal, and then you could start speaking. However, if one spoke in between chewing and eating, he said bracha, chewed it, so then you shouldn't have to say bracha. But then he says, well, you know what? I'm not so sure if that's right, because you don't have to say bracha when you chew. I mean, is chewing eating or not? First, he says, if you chew, you're allowed to eat mafsik. If you were mafsik, it's not a problem. Sounding like chewing is eating. But elsewhere, we find that chewing does not require bracha, indicating chewing is not eating. So in the end, the Magen Avraham has a tzarachin. He doesn't know what to do if you chewed before swallowing. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chai Adam, if you swallowed some of the taste, you tasted something, b'dyeved, your yotin, for sure you wouldn't have to repeat the bracha again. Now, Chachil, the Mishnah Berurah advises one should have a kezias of eating before speaking. You don't have to, but one, if one can, one should, but you don't really have to. It's enough to swallow even a small amount. Yeah.
In general, back to our b'dyeved cases from like way before, mm-hmm. with like you have to feed your dog, like you make a bracha, you have to feed your dog, but you can do it and then you want to make another bracha. Why don't you just taste it, be you would say, with the bracha and then feed your dog? Because I'm saying someone could taste it before you do anything else.
No, I think that's what they would advise to do. No one ever says, l'chachil, you should ever... This is b'dyeved, if it happened. But definitely not...
If it happened, why don't they say, taste it?
I think that's, in essence, what they're saying. I think that's what they're... No one explicitly said that, but that's what comes out. As you're saying, what comes out is, so if you're stuck in a situation, swallow a little bit and then go feed your animals.
I thought
that that's if you went to feed your animals and then when you return, don't say bracha, but don't do that l'chachila. Now Sharatian, one last thing, Sharatian says it's also one should be very careful when saying a bracha, don't like have the thing in your mouth and like go walking before you actually swallow, because halicha is also considered hefsek. One should stay in place, swallow a little bit, and go wherever you have to go. Okay, fine. So that completes our discussion on hefsek. Tomorrow